The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
This is Becky Mitchell. On today's show, we're continuing our series on the Becker County Ice Harvest and continuing our interviews with Edgar Ewalls, interviewed by Pippi Mayfield.
And then this one night, while I was kind of... I took a top bunk because then all they had was coal burning stoves because they used the coal off the railroad.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got a top bunk and it was warm. And I woke up in the early morning, you know, maybe 2 o'clock. Oh man, it was so damn hot in there. I couldn't figure out. I went over and looked. I just looked at from my bunk at the stove. It was black. Well, I figured for as hot as it was, it should have been cherry red or something.
Yeah.
So I got up, and I could hear the wind blowing like crazy. Opened up the door, and the wind was just hot as could be out there. Mm-hmm. Water running down the road, and the snow banks were just going down like this here.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, anyway, I went back to bed because I wasn't cold, and I slept. And then I got up in the morning, and I told the guys, I said, boy, I can't figure out what happened last night. And they said, oh, that's one of those Chinooks. It's a hot wind that comes in off of the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers the mountains, the whole mountain area. And then we couldn't cut ice for 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Because all the water had ran into this lake.
Yeah.
And so there was over a foot of water on the on the ice that they were supposed to be cutting.
Yeah.
Oh, so we had fun. But
wow.
And then because it was the railroad, then this one guy, this Red, he says, do you know anybody? You know, like when we get through here, you know, if you want, you can go back with us to Detroit Lakes.
Yeah.
Or I can get you a railroad pass. And then any place the train is going on the way back, you know, like I could go in a regular passenger car.
Right.
You know, on the way back, I could stop at every town and get off. But mm-hmm. I couldn't, like on the Northern Pacific, they had spurs off,
yeah.
You know, for other towns. Well, I couldn't go on a spur,
right.
But I could, on the main line, I could go from town to town and stop, and the thing was good for like 3 months.
Oh, wow.
You know, until I got to Detroit
back
Lakes,
here.
And the pass wasn't any good anymore.
Yeah.
So anyway, I knew some friends out in North Dakota and this here, so I said, yeah, that would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
So then on the way back, I stopped off here and there.
Yeah,
on the way
fun.
Back. That was fun. And, the big, I only can remember two of them. One, the ice houses where we were shipping all this ice to was Missoula, Montana.
Okay.
And one of them was Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to me there was one or two more, but these were the big ones. So when we got, and the crews were from, I didn't have to keep track of those guys, but the crews were from around here
okay.
that went out there to put the ice in these ice houses.
Mm-hmm.
And the ice houses were very similar to what was down here at the Detroit ice houses.
Yeah.
And so and during that time, you know, like when we had the Chinook winds,
mm-hmm.
we shipped some tonnage out to, I don't know for sure, I think it was Missoula, where Missoula took the most all the time.
Okay.
The other places just took a little amount, you know, but they still took quite a bit of ice.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have a big enough crew to take, Missoula could take 25 cars, you know, and handle it. But this other place only could take maybe five.
Okay.
You know, so you had to kind of figure out where all this was, you know. I think it was Missoula where they had the problem. We shipped the ice out, and it got delayed on the railroad someplace out there, and then they got that Chinook,
mm-hmm.
and it melted in the cars, and they couldn't get it out.
Yeah, I suppose
so. They had to get a crew, and they chipped it and shoveled it out of the car.
And then I suppose it was all wasted because it wasn't in nice blocks anymore.
When the ice comes off the lake, you know, the temperature and they had these big floats that when they brought it in,
mm-hmm.
When they sawed it, they didn't saw all the way through the ice.
Mm-hmm.
They left a strip, maybe this uncut.
Okay.
And then what they would do is they'd count the blocks, you know, like they counted this many blocks.
Right.
Okay, then they would stuff snow. After they sawed it, they would stuff snow in mm-hmm. this crack. And then they would let a little water seep in there so the snow won't freeze solid like the ice does.
Right.
So then when they're ready to take this float, they could just hit it with the bar and it'd pop apart. Then they could float it all in. Yeah. And the rest of the float had been taken care of prior to, you know, this here. But that was the idea. They could count and figure out how much and they could float in.
Right.
And these guys would float it in there. Well, every once in a while, some guy was in a little bit big hurry, and the float would, and you couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
You'd put your spikes down, and it'd just keep on pushing it. So the guys would have to lose some of the cakes. It crystallized kind of like it wouldn't all. It's kind of like you've seen carwood and it's just shattered, but they're all still together.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to the cake.
Wow.
So then when it came in, when they broke it off and then it would go to the car, then the whole thing of it was is if they grabbed it with the ice tongs, it could just like blow up.
Shatter, yeah.
And this here. So these guys that were watching these cakes and getting them on the tramway and come up if they saw one of those there, then what they would do is hit it with we call it a needle bar.
Okay.
It was like a big ice pick, you know.
Yeah.
Only it had a big round handle on it, and they'd jam it, and then it would shatter, and then it would become what we called slush, because mm-hmm. the ice would chip a little bit all the time in the water as the cakes were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So then the tramway area, then they would... this would go off on a conveyor off to the side and it would be slush.
Okay.
Then if the cakes broke up on the tramway between the railroad cars, the cake broke up there, they'd just let it go and it'd go up to the end and then it would go down in what they call a cripple chute.
Okay.
It dropped down and then it went over here on a cripple pile. And so basically the people in town here could go down to the iceworks way after the 4th of July and get ice out of this cripple pile because it would take that long for
that
it all.
That seems crazy.
To all melt.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, we used to go down there and like 4th of July, we used to get farmer's cream and mm-hmm. we would make ice cream.
Oh, that sounds good.
So,
did you just work there the 1 year?
Yeah, I just worked there the 1 year. And the reason, like, they didn't stop at Mandan, which I found out later on after working at Helen and everything,
mm-hmm.
in Spokane, they started an ice plant, an artificial ice plant.
Okay.
So they were going to be making ice for the refrigeration and for... And this ice in Detroit Lakes, They also used it in the dining cars
mm-hmm.
on the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, God, after you see all these guys working on it and handling it and everything, I don't know if I'd want to have any in the dining cars.
But, yep.
But they said the ice was, you know, it was so clear.
Yep.
And then they would melt some in a glass. There was nothing in it.
Wow,
yeah, you know,
that's
it was
amazing.
No dirt
yeah.
that you didn't need to strain it or anything. You know?
Yeah.
So that was it. It was a very interesting. I like to get involved in all different things.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting trip and an experience in my lifetime.
How come you only did it the 1 year?
Because then, that was 48, 49. Then I started working for, I went back to work for Burgess a little bit.
Okay.
Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company. I could go back and work for them.
Mm-hmm.
I did for a little bit, and then they were having a lawsuit. The government was having a lawsuit with Atlantic and Pacific because they were a monopoly, they said.
Oh.
So the in their business dealings with the government, they said, okay, we won't expand anymore. We won't go west of the Mississippi.
Okay.
And the government says, that sounds like a good deal. So Detroit Lakes is west of the Mississippi.
Right.
So I had a chance to, and I was young, not married or anything.
Yeah.
I had a chance to go with them.
Okay.
And I didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
So then I went back to work for Burgess a little bit.
Okay.
And because I was working for them and Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company also at the same time. Because Burgess was like a 7 day week job.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlantic and Pacific was only 5 days.
Okay.
So I always, and he always would give me the middle of the week off because the end of the weeks were when they were the busiest. Monday
right.
mornings and then the like back in those days the farmers would bring their eggs in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so we candled the eggs in the store and then paid them and they got their groceries and stuff like this.
Okay. Yep.
So that's what I did there, and then I didn't want to leave. So he said it was up to me. I could keep on working or find another job, and
mm-hmm.
that he was a good boss. He taught me a lot. That's why when I have these different experiences, I learned quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, then I went back to Burgess, and I had some friends, and my folks had some friends that worked for a phone company, and they were looking for workers.
Yep.
And the one of them told my dad and my mother that why don't you have your son sign up? He's a good guy. We would, you know, and they're looking for people that were responsible,
right.
trustworthy, you know, the whole ball game. So I signed up and I got on there, but I didn't get hired permanently.
Okay.
I got hired temporary. So
right.
I worked like 2.5 weeks. They laid me off. Oh. That was 3 days, and then they hired you back again.
Wow, what was the point of that?
Well, that was basically back in those days that if I wasn't worth it, they didn't have to rehire me.
Okay.
Because I already started with the stipulation of working 3 weeks, and
right.
and then they would lay me off, and if they wanted me, needed me, they could rehire me.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then pretty soon they tried to get another guy on. And he had bugged them so much, and they wouldn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So finally he's, and well, and then they were looking for people that had graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
That was one, a good background, you know, and then graduation from high school. That was the only main requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't graduate. But he got a chance to buy a farm up here by Waban, so, and it was a reasonable price,
mm-hmm.
very reasonable. So he bought it.
Okay.
And then he was going to inform them he was going to quit. Well, they informed him they were going to hire him, and then he asked me what he should do, and I said, you know, you should go where your heart wants you to
right.
go.
Right, yeah.
You know. He says, well, that farm really looks nice to me. And I said, well, you know, never know if, how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
So he took the farm.
Oh, yeah.
And afterwards, I met him lots of times, and he said that was the best choice. He says, I gave him a good
good advice, huh?
Good advice, yeah.
Good.
And then he became an electrician, and then his son took over the farm, and
wow.
So the family really, really went. And then I worked for the telephone company for 38 years. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Did you do bookkeeping type stuff at the phone company also?
No, oh. No. I started out, the terminology they used, you start out as a grunt.
Oh, yep.
And that's the bottom of the pole, you know.
Yep.
And back in the days when I started, there was no bobcats, no nothing. You dug with a 5-foot shovel,
yep,
and used a pick and the whole thing. And that's what I started. And we set the poles by hand. You didn't have big booms and stuff like this. When we got into bigger poles, you know, like a 35-foot, 40-foot pole, mm-hmm, then we had a assemble boom, mm-hmm, you know, to lift those poles up and get them up in the air fire. Otherwise, you just piked them in or pushed them up by hand and dropped them in the hole. So, but that's a whole different new life on that whole thing. So.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for today's show. We look forward to continuing this series with Edgar on the Becker County Ice Harvest.
This audio piece was produced in the KKWE studios in Callaway, Minnesota, on the White Earth Reservation. This project is fully funded by a generous grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. If you'd like to hear more, check out our online archive at www.nijiradio.org.